Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and host of Talking with TD. He's the magic man here in Nashville sports media. TD, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Doing very well. Hope you are as well. And TD, if you're a Titans fan looking up at this matchup against Chicago coming up on Sunday, what scares you the most about this game as you evaluate the Bears?
I think the biggest thing is their defense. And it's just the fact that they have a total game wrecker up front in Khalil Mack. And he's a guy that can make a play that could really change the course of the game. So I think that's a big thing. And they move him from left to right. So more than likely he'll get plenty of opportunities coming from the defensive right side, which means he'll be going against Tyson Braylo, you know, and that's not really a solid matchup for the Titans, but, you know, to Sembrello's credit, he's done a solid job filling in for Taylor Lewan. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. That's the main thing that I would focus on, but you can't overlook the fact that they have an absolute playmaker in Eddie Jackson at the safety position. And he's a guy, he gets his hands on the ball, he's a lot of times going to score a touchdown. So that's something to be concerned about as well.
So, TD, let's say Taylor Lewan never got hurt and we were looking at this matchup. Do you think he'd be just left alone with Khalil Mack in a game like this?
I do. I do. And they've done that multiple times with other premier edge rushers, so it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look at how many times J.J. Watt and Taylor Lewan one-on-one went at it, you know, and there's a respect level between those two because of how well they've done against each other. So I definitely think Khalil Mack would be a guy that Lewan would be charged with going against one-on-one.
That'd be fun to watch if it was just those two on an island. So in reality, if he's over there, and again, I think either side he's on, you have to know, right? But how much does that affect an offense, or how much do you think it'll affect this offense Sunday just to have to account for him?
Yeah, it'll be major. And you saw what a guy can do off the edge against the run defense or running attack when you watched the Steelers with TJ Watt, what he was able to do. So when you have a guy that could come off the edge, crash down, and get in that backfield before Derrick Henry could get running, that will hurt the rushing game. But then also, obviously, he speeds things up from a protection standpoint. You know, that guy will get in the backfield and he'll make that clock that Tannehill has go a little bit faster, and that could cause high throws, it could cause off-target throws. So he impacts the game majorly.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what did you make of the move by the Titans to bring in Desmond King? And if he plays on Sunday, what sort of an impact do you think he could have right away, even though he won't have much time to have practiced or to have even been on the field with this team?
Yeah, it was a solid move. I don't think that anyone should say, hey, you know, they got a lockdown defensive back. He's not that, but he's still a solid player, and he's someone that could help. He does a really good job of blitzing, so I think that is a way that he would help if he played this week, you know, because you could put in a couple of packages that have him coming off the edge. He's a solid player when it comes to that. I actually drew up Whiteboard Wednesday. I drew up a play in which he was able to drop into, he swooped in on an outbreaking route from the guy on the outside of him and picked it off. And that's something that Nick Foles, he really likes to do that. He likes to push the ball outside of the numbers on those 10-yard outs, the comebacks and those type of things. And a lot of times that's a route that's being run by the outside guy. And in this case, what I saw with King, he was lined up over the slot and he just swooped in and picked it off. And it was kind of like one of those situations where they baited the quarterback into throwing it because the corner on the outside was playing off. So you get that type of instinct. You get that type of playmaking ability. It ended up being a pick six, 42 yards, and that was against the Seahawks. And, you know, that was a solid performance that he had on that particular play. So that's a good part that you'll get. They need more playmakers on that defense, so he should be able to help out from that perspective.
Do you think it's – I mean, obviously he's a veteran. He's been playing this year, you know, that he can do all the mental stuff, you know, like he's been doing this week. I mean, do you think it's likely we'll see him at least off the bench or at least be active one of the 48 Sunday?
I don't think it's out of the ordinary. You know, as you mentioned, he's a veteran and he's been in the Zoom meetings, and you could always have a you don't have to have the whole defensive playbook open to him. There could always be a portion, and basically every week you have a condensed version of the playbook anyway, you know, for what applies to the team you're playing. So they could condense it even further. Long story short, yeah, for sure. I think it's a good possibility that he plays, and you know, he could be effective. And it's not like he's not in shape. He had been doing what he had to do in L.A., you know, outside of some of the things with the meetings and the punctuality. But I think it's not out of the question at all to see him on Sunday.
TD, we knew this was going to be a really important year for Corey Davis, the Titans not picking up his fifth-year option. What do you make of what you've seen so far from Corey Davis in the season that he's having?
Oh, well, he's playing with confidence. That's the first thing that pops out. And a good example, and I actually wrote about this, he had the touchdown against the Bengals, outstanding over it, reached up, grabbed it, got his toes down in bounds, and the ref called it incomplete, and he just smoothly got up, looked at the ref, said, "Oh, it's a catch," and pointed at the big screen, you know, and told him to watch it. And to me, that's confidence, that's swagger, and that's something that a lot of people have wanted to see from Corey Davis. And then you just look at that game, you know, he smoked William Jackson a few times. You look at the out and up that he had, you look at the there was a 24-yard pass he caught. Also, so he's playing really good football. You know, the consistency, I don't think that's necessarily his fault, right? Because it just the way that game plan is, the hot hand gets it and it shifts from game to game. But he does have two 100-yard receiving games. So that's definitely something to take note of, because up until this year, he had a total of two 100-yard receiving games. So there's a lot of, you know, positive coming out of Corey Davis and what he's doing, contested catches, everything like that. He's a more reliable pass catcher. I think it's really good to see him, you know, start to really show that ability. And it's going to be interesting just what this Titans team is stuck. What do they do? You know what I mean? I think they should definitely re-sign Corey Davis, but you got to find the money to do it. So that's something that, you kick that can down the road, but right now he's making a good case for himself.
So, TD, this Bears defense, you know, we've talked about Mack and Jackson. I mean, Akeem Hicks, you got Roquan Smith. They got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
The rush D numbers haven't been great. I know sometimes that can be deceiving. What is your evaluation of that aspect of the defense and this matchup against Derrick Henry?
Yeah, it's hard to understand that. You know, they're giving up 120 yards per game, and that's definitely not something that you would expect when you see all those playmakers. I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to their aggressiveness. Teams are using that against them. Roquan Smith is a very good linebacker, very instinctive GPS for the football, but sometimes you could use that against them, and that's what I've seen in some of it, and there's still, you know, some tackling issues as well.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, as you look at Nick Foles, obviously we've seen good versions of Nick Foles. We've seen really bad versions of Nick Foles. He's turning the ball over a lot so far this season since taking over as starting quarterback. What do you see when you evaluate Nick Foles, and what do you make of that matchup for the Titans defense going up against this Bears offense?
I think it works in their favor because Foles is not really one of those quick passers. it's not something that you have like going against the Steelers, going against the Bengals last week. It's he diagnoses quickly, but he has a bit of a windup. So it's a little bit harder for him to throw the ball quickly. He does, after all that being said, do a solid job with RPOs. That's something that even dated back to his early days with the Eagles when he had 27 touchdowns and two interceptions in the season, you know, under Chip Kelly. He's always been really good at RPOs. So that's something to definitely watch. I think, you know, he's someone that likes to push the ball down the field. Not always able to match up with Darnell Mooney, and that has been an issue. Mooney is a really solid down-the-field receiver. He worked out in this area. Derek Mason trained him, you know, so you know he's on point as far as being a playmaker, but they're not connecting, so I think that's an issue. But Foles, he'll put the ball in harm's way, and he's the guy that believes that he could fit it in places that he shouldn't try to, and I think that'll help the defense. But at the same time, he's someone that will always give his receiver a chance to make a play. So just like last week, A.J. Green, you know, the back shoulder throws and being able to go up and make contested catches, that's something to be aware of. Again, this week with Allen Robinson, who's a bigger receiver, the Titans are obviously familiar with him, but he's a playmaker, and he and Foles, they have hooked up multiple times.
So, TD, I know we're very anxious to see what things look like on that practice field at 11 today. Mike Garafolo has a report yesterday that makes it sound like, you know, Clowney could potentially miss this game. And, of course, now last week he missed Wednesday, Thursday, came out Friday. He's kind of had that knee and he's been missing a lot of practices. But what do you make of his situation? And I guess, like, to me, if the Titans knew that it was going in a bad direction for Clowney, why would they then make this the week to cut Beasley?
Yeah, and that's why you have to question. I don't want to say question, but you have to wonder, you know, how accurate that report was, because it doesn't seem to make sense for them to do that, right? To release Beasley, not knowing what Clowney's situation is going to be. It's just a wait and see, man. Like, we'll see at 11 if Clowney is out there. And even if he's not out there, that doesn't mean that he won't be able to play on Sunday. Because the thing you got to think about, they have to turn around quickly and play on Thursday. So maybe what they're doing is just keeping him off of that knee as much as possible. Maybe, and this is speculation, it's not a report, but we could say maybe there's swelling in there or something in there that, you know, it comes up after he works on it, and they want to keep that down so they keep him off of his knee during practice so he could play on Sunday and then, you know, have maybe one practice or not practice at all to play on Thursday. You never know what the situation is. So I think, you know, it's really going to show a lot today, as you mentioned. And the other question is the Dory Jackson. that's a big one. So we're going to be looking for 25 and 99. When we get to practice. Those are the first ones I want to look for.
And then we can tweet at 12:20. We can tweet at 12:20 and 01 seconds. That's right.
Right. Put it in your drafts and tweet at, or you could do like good old John Glennon, boy. He's quick draw with it. 12:19:57.
That's right. Get it out there just a little bit early. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, appreciate you as always, my man. Thanks for the great info.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we come back, what do we make of Jadeveon Clowney's situation? Do we think he really could miss this game on Sunday against Chicago? We'll dive into that next. But first, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates next week on Thursday and Friday. Then on Saturday and Sunday, which is November 14th and 15th, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking about Jadeveon Clowney and maybe his status for this game on Sunday against Chicago. A report coming out by Mike Garofalo yesterday, and report's probably a strong word there, but an assertion coming out by Mike Garofalo yesterday that maybe Jadeveon Clowney not able to go on Sunday against Chicago. Says there is concern that he won't be able to play. Clowney dealing right now with a knee issue that he's been dealing with for a few weeks. And Joe, to the point you've brought up multiple times here on the show, that just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense if the Titans are truly concerned that Clowney couldn't play, that they make the move this week to cut Vic Beasley. Not that Vic Beasley has, like, his play has warranted keeping him on the roster or anything, but, like, if Clowney can't go, you don't really have many bodies there that you feel great about.
No, it all doesn't add up. Assertion, that's an interesting. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's sort of like he said he was told, you know, that there's concern, I think. I guess, you know, I should look and see exactly the wording. But I didn't come away thinking, okay, so he's definitely reporting that Clowney's out. You know, there's concern. Again, there could be something that happens Tuesday, you know, where it's like, oh, it's taken a turn for the worse. But now, wait a minute. When was Vic Beasley cut? Vic Beasley was told Tuesday that he'd be cut Wednesday,
yep.
Correct? Yeah. So I guess it would happen maybe be more like Wednesday night. I don't know. It doesn't add up. Again, it's not like Vic Beasley's giving you anything, but Vic Beasley has been playing. He's on the defense. He's had a uniform. He's had shoulder pads and a helmet. He's someone that you could make one of your 11 people on the field and, like, know that he won't, like, curl up in a ball.
Right.
I don't think you'd cut him if you knew that things were going worse for Clowney. But maybe it's just that Derek Roberson and Tazar Skipper are about to be the Batman and Robin of pass rushing in the NFL. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if I've ever rooted harder for a guy that I'm going to root for than Tazar Skipper. I am very much rooting for him. I need him to be good. I need to be able to buy his jersey at some point. It would be great.
Is that a better football name than Jaquaski Tart from the 49ers?
That
should have been our poll
too.
Question.
That should have been the poll question.
That's I like Tier Tart.
Yeah,
that's also a good name. A Titan. I think he's on the practice squad. I lose track. I'll confirm that or not.
Well, nobody
Tart is a good name.
No name is ever going to beat the guy the Predators just drafted, whose name's Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
Yeah,
that could be the greatest name in the history of life.
Gunnar Wolf.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
I still don't believe that's real. They drafted a video game character.
I need to meet him like in person to clarify and to confirm.
Yeah,
that is his name.
Yeah, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine is like the villain in a Schwarzenegger movie.
It's funny though because that's
a great name.
That name is only by someone that plays hockey.
Yeah.
Not playing basketball, playing football. That is, if there's any sport that man's name is playing in, it is hockey.
Yeah, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. When he's not playing hockey, he's like in the woods somewhere chopping down trees. Just a man's man.
Or skeet shooting.
Yeah,
maybe.
That too.
Only wears flannel. That's it. In the summers, wearing flannel.
That's right. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, do we fear that Adoree Jackson possibly came back too early? So my guess is what they're referring to there is he's been, I guess, designated to return from IR for the last 3 weeks. Do we feel like they got him back on the practice field too soon?
Before I answer that question, Tier Tart is on the practice squad, so very exciting news.
That is exciting news.
Look, again, I can only go with the little brief windows at the beginning of practice. He is running like Adoree Jackson has always run when I watch him out there. Now, he's not always out there. So they're obviously mixing in breaks and rests and all this stuff, but I don't think so. It's just a matter of I figured when they designated him for return, he would return. It's a 3-week window. And then they have to return or, you know, they're on IR the rest of the way. And so he's going to be active Sunday. Will he start and play the whole game? I don't know. But I mean, from what I've seen, I don't think it was too early. I think it can't be early enough to get him on the field.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you were kind of saying here on the show, and it wasn't just you. Multiple people were saying the week he came back before that Pittsburgh game, like, he looked pretty good out there. Like, I don't know if he's going to play, but I think even TD was like, yeah, I think there's a decent shot he may play in that Pittsburgh game. And then, like, it's taken a little bit longer, obviously, but getting him back this week, I think you feel pretty good about it. Obviously, today is a big day, and we're going to pay attention to that at Titans practice. But all signs, I would think, point to him being available in this game against Chicago, which that in and of itself is huge news. Now, to your point, like, I think some people may have maybe overinflating, like, how good Adoree Jackson is. Like, he's a really good NFL cornerback. I think some people are acting like getting him back is like Deion Sanders in his prime, and that's not the case. But certainly getting him back in really going to help this defense from an athleticism standpoint, a speed standpoint. He's just a really good player. I still think there's another level that he needs to get to on based on what I've seen throughout his career so far. But Adoree Jackson will help this defense a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you think about going from Jonathan Joseph to him. That's a pretty significant change. And by the way,
looks
he got
like
picked up.
Jonathan Joseph's going to end up with the Arizona Cardinals.
How about that?
Are we surprised by that?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, if you're Arizona, like, you turn on the tape and you're like, ooh, man, I don't know if this guy can run anymore.
Like, if someone asked me to guess one of the two, Beasley or Joseph, would be picked up, my guess would be neither, but I think I would have probably guessed Beasley before Joseph.
Yeah. Joseph just looks like he's done. I know Beasley looks like he's done too, but Beasley is at least younger and led the NFL in sacks 4 years ago. Jonathan Joseph, he just can't run anymore.
Yeah.
So I was shocked when I saw that yesterday.
Watch him go there and just, you know. Just
pick six, first game.
Be like kickers who used to be here. Yeah. Or go anywhere else, and they're just amazing.
He's going to pick off Russell Wilson in his first game there.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to take it. He's going to outrun DK Metcalf to the house.
He's going to stiff-arm DK Metcalf.
Throw him to the ground.
A guy who looked like he could not run at all here goes to Arizona and just becomes Usain Bolt overnight.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John texted in, could this just be one of Vrabel's coaching genius moves, using this as Adoree's training camp? So you do have to remember, Adoree Jackson didn't really do anything in training camp. Getting him back in here, using these last couple of weeks, getting him on the practice field, making sure that he's ready to go. Could this have been intentional from Mike Vrabel to get him through this three-week process, and maybe this was the plan all along to play him against Chicago?
Yeah, that's a good thought. He was there for most of camp, though. He got hurt later in camp. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a while. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. Basically, like, let's make sure that this sticks. Let's make sure that this lasts. Again, we've talked on the show today about Ryan Succop, and it sure looked really early after he came back last year that it was too early. And then he gets cut, and now he's healthy and they wish they had him.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those things where you want to be sure. You also look at the Steelers and Bengals matchups and say, man, they could use him this Sunday and they could use him this Sunday. But if they get him back this Sunday and then he's good from there, then I think it looks like a good process.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven from Hendersonville texts in, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine is the main villain in Die Hard 17. Out of retirement again.
Yes, he is Hans Gruber's fourth cousin.
Yeah,
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine,
fourth cousin coming in. Bruce Willis at the age of 86, coming out to battle against Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis, grumpy old men slash
like,
Die Hard
17. At what point do like these movies with Die Hard and you know the Expendables movies that came out with Sylvester Stallone and all these different like action heroes from the 80s, like at one point does getting your butt kicked by like a 75-year-old no longer become realistic?
I mean, hey, I think Chuck Norris could still kick someone.
He probably could. Like Chuck Norris is a different animal, but like at what point does like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming in and just beating everybody up be like, okay,
I think that, like 80. That was unrealistic like 5 to 10 years ago. I think the last or the Expendables or whatever where every single one of those action stars they crammed that movie are over the age of 50. Like there's just no way. I mean,
I never saw that movie. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's very unbelievable, but it's a movie.
Incredibly unbelievable. And what, the last Rambo movie was made when
He's like 65 years old
still.
And there's a new one coming out, right?
Yeah.
Is there?
I think it already came out.
Oh, it did come out.
What?
I heard it was terrible.
Oh. Well,
shocking.
Yeah. The believability factor is so low there. I mean.
Old grandpa sneaking up on you with a knife out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing believable about that.
That was a big deal going to see Rambo
in
1985 at the theaters. Big deal.
I'm sure it was. When we come back, Joe's got a great idea he's tossed out there. What are the five most hated pro sports franchises that each of us have? We'll give that list next. Get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game. This Saturday, catch the college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is one of the most storied rivalries in college football as Florida takes on Georgia. Kickoff is at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. So I guess this is a little premature since y'all just started this segment, but I was going to do the five most hated franchises for me.
Let us have it.
All right, so I'm a Tennessee fan, grew up a Tennessee fan, and my mom and dad lived in Georgia for a while, so they got all the crap, especially my dad, from Georgia fans. So Georgia fans are at the top of my list because they're so obnoxious. They got barked at, literally barked at, by fans in Athens at night in the rain.
Wow.
In their stadium. So that's number one for me. Number two is whatever team Perry is on, because, you know, everybody hates Perry.
Corey Perry.
Okay. Yes. Number three and four are basically lumped together, I guess you could say, the Hawks and the Blues because of their fan bases.
Okay.
And number five, I would say the Patriots when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were together for obvious reasons.
All righty. I like it, Nate. That's a pretty good list. Thanks for calling in.
That's good. See, and Nate brings up, see, that's where this gets a little bit tricky with your most hated. Because for me, some of them are of a certain time.
Sure.
So, but some of them are prevailing. So, I mean, you can look at it either way. You can look at it like, I hate the, you know, the Bulls of the 90s, for example.
Right.
But
like, you just kind of feel sorry for the Bulls now.
Right.
But now, back then.
Right. So one of mine, well, a couple of mine are, well, it doesn't matter who's there.
Now, before we do
this, the hatred will be there.
Are we sticking to pro sports
franchises?
This is pro.
I think it gets hard with college. I think, you know, like college to me is, it's just different. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times it's basically like whoever the rival is of whoever you love is obvious and stuff like that. I mean, there's some, like what, a lot of people hate Notre Dame. But I just thought, let's keep it to pro.
Okay.
You know?
So we're going to keep
it
to
pro. There's enough there. There's enough there with just the pro,
okay?
Right?
So do you want to start this, your top five most hated pro sports franchises?
Okay, I'll start it. So here's an example of, I don't really care now, but I'm still putting them number one on my list because of, at the time, the hatred, there will never be more sports fan hatred from me.
Okay.
Than for the Boston Celtics of the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
You know, 80s, basically. Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, just utter hatred for those teams.
Yeah.
And of course, this is, again, as a young Pistons fan, and they couldn't get through the Celtics and finally did, and the terrible Isaiah pass, it should have beat them a year earlier, all that stuff. But just those guys. I know it's funny, too, because when you love Bill Laimbeer, as I did, and most of the rest of the world hates Bill Laimbeer, you love when he, you know, gets a little elbow in on Larry Bird. And meanwhile, he takes Robert Parrish, like, double punch to the face, and there's not even a foul call.
Do you realize the team that you root for, that you rooted for back and then, is probably the most hated team ever?
Yeah. No, absolutely. For sure, okay. Yeah. So, okay, so number two for me, and this is why I thought of it this week, it's the Chicago Bears. Now, the Bears, so here's the thing with, I've told you, I've disavowed Lions fandom long ago. When Barry Sanders retired, I'm like, you ruined, like, the greatest running back ever's career.
It's a good move.
Didn't ruin it, but, like, look at what, like, this is it, okay? But when you get away from being a fan of a team, it doesn't mean you stop hating the other team,
right?
But with the Bears, it goes back a lot to the 80s. It's also Bears fans. I mean, I just hated those 80s Bears teams with, you know, Jim McMahon, just, you know, with your stupid headbands. But also, I mean, you're talking about the history of this team, George Halas, who is this revered figure, who was a blatant racist, who was a huge part of a 12-year unofficial ban of black players in the NFL from 36 to 48. And then it was lifted, even though it was never written, and they went another 6 years before they added a black player. So George Halas, big part of the racist history of the NFL, and yet a revered figure. For a franchise, and again, he wasn't alone at that time, but that's part of the whole thing with the Bears. It's just, you know, a lot of it really is the 80s. The thing is, I love Walter Payton, you know?
Yeah.
And he still was not a – and actually, Mike Singletary. They had two players that I actually liked, and I still hated them so much because of all the other players. So then, number three, the Chicago Bulls. There's a little bit of a theme
here. There's a Chicago theme developing here.
Yeah, you know, there's a Detroit-Chicago thing. And again, like, I don't care anymore. I don't care about, I mean, whatever. But this is that time period. Michael Jordan, who, by the way, was 1-3 all time in the playoffs against the Detroit Pistons, in case anyone hasn't heard that stat.
Yes.
It just, you know, it goes without saying. I still enjoyed The Last Dance, but they were a very easy to hate team. Like you said, most people hated my team. That's fine. I relish that too. Next for me is the Colorado Avalanche. Again, of the 90s.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of it is.
You didn't like Peter Forsberg?
He was a guy. Man. He was okay. I didn't hate Peter Forsberg. Was fine with Joe Sakic. Two people. It's all it takes is two people. Claude freaking Lemieux, one of the dirtiest players in the history of the league.
Yeah.
And Patty Roy. Oh. When the Red Wings put seven on him in game 7 in 02.
Did you just call him Roy?
Patty Roy. Pat Roy.
Pat Wah.
No. Patty. I call him Pat Roy. Okay. He will always be known as Pat Roy to me.
Oh, so you're like taking a shot at him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude, I know what his name is. I know his name is Patrick Wah.
I'm just saying. For clarification's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I only watched.
I didn't want to get texts.
Yeah, I've only been watching hockey since 84.
Look, I'm not taking shots at you. I'm trying to protect you.
Now you know.
Okay.
If you want to rip Pat Wah, call him Patty Roy. Okay. That's what we called him. Okay?
I bet that would upset him. Having spoken to Pat Wah many times, I bet if I called him Roy, that would really
I would think so. Good. I hope so. And then my last one is the New York Yankees. This is one of those, kind of like the Bears, that it's not a particular person. It's a standard hatred, right? If you're not a Yankees fan, you probably hate the Yankees. I just always root against them. I want them to lose. I feel good when they lose. I feel bad when they win. I don't have a particular, you know, Steinbrenner, whatever. Some people over the years you didn't like, but it's really not a personal thing. It's just like, I'm sick of the Yankees.
Yeah, like you hate them as a franchise.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of people do.
Right. Please lose. People feel that way about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
People feel that way sometimes about the Lakers or whoever, but yeah.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John text in, the Jags are 1-5 on my list. Imagine waking up every day rooting for the greatest disgrace of a franchise in sports history. These are the same people who appreciate Cole for Christmas. The bonus team on my list is the Pittsburgh Penguins, but only because I can't stand Malkin and Crosby. So the Jags occupying 1-5 on John's list there, and they are the same people who appreciate Cole for Christmas. That's a strong take. I like that.
I feel like Titans fans, the Jaguars are on a lot of those lists because of the fan interaction.
Yeah. The Jags fans, for like having like 17 fans on the earth, they're a vocal 17 fans.
Ooh. Todd, are you listening, Todd?
I mean, Todd's one of them. We hadn't heard a lot from Todd
One of the 17.
Yeah.
Man.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jacob from Nashville texting in, top five hated teams. Number one, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Number two, Tom Brady's Tuck Rule Patriots. Number three, not really America's team, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Number four, putting Notre Dame on the list. And number five, Georgia Bulldogs. So deviating from the pro sports at the end of it there. But yeah. Tom Brady, I think, receives a lot of votes here.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, real quick, my honorable mention, Packers, White Sox, Blackhawks, Cowboys.
Did you not put the Packers on the list because of me?
No. I've always hated them less than the Bears, but I mostly hate Brett Favre.
Okay.
So that was, you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is so fun to watch, and I'm so far removed from caring about the Lions. I'd be okay with them winning it all.
Yeah.
I would never be okay with the Bears winning it all.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that anytime soon.
And like
they can't find a quarterback.
I mean, sometimes I just look at the 2017 draft and I just read it and giggle. and it's enjoyable.
Elijah, who is the most hated team that you have? Who do you hate the most?
Do you guys have top five?
I've got top five. I'm going to do it on the other side of the break.
I have one in each of the major pro sports. In baseball, it's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
Right above the New York Yankees.
You're a Cubs fan?
I'm a Reds fan. But the fight between the Reds and the Cardinals in, I think it was like 2008, where Johnny Cueto got involved. Brandon Phillips and Yadier Molina got in a fight. I have never cheered for Yadier Molina a day in my life, especially after that fight.
Did you like roll up your sleeves watching it, ready to just jump in there?
Like 12-year-old Elijah was ready to throw down. blood was boiling. Never been so mad watching a sporting event in my life. The New York Yankees, specifically because I think they have the most unfair advantage in sport, and that's playing in a salary capless sport and having more money than God.
Yeah.
I think that's more of an advantage than the Astros sign stealing, and I'll never change my mind on that.
And the Yankees still can't win now.
And they still can't win, which is hilarious. And them losing to the Rays is poetic justice. It's like the French Revolution in baseball. it's beautiful. Football, as a lifelong Saints fan, I really haven't hated any NFC or NFC South team. Like, I can't hate on the Falcons that much.
That's
because
surprising.
It's funny.
Because they're pathetic.
Oh. They're pathetic. Okay. It's okay. Like, I can't be, if I was a Titans fan, I wouldn't hate the Jags because they're pathetic, and I feel worse for them than I would, you know, have any animosity. But I cannot stand the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Despise. Every Super Bowl they're in, I'm pulling for whoever they're playing against. Okay. I was pulling for the Falcons when they played them, and I'm a Saints fan, and I was going hard for the Falcons. And that's saying something. And then
how'd that work out?
And it was good for three quarters.
It's real good for three quarters.
Stop the count. But if in basketball, despise the Boston Celtics, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce team. Paul Pierce is one of my least favorite athletes of all time. And wow. I used to make fun of him so much for the wheelchair thing where he acted like he just got hit by a sniper from the top of the arena and had to get wheelchaired out only 5 minutes later to come back as if he just saw a witch doctor in the locker room and whoever had his voodoo doll was removed from the arena. But then it's hilarious to find out, you know, years later that the reason Paul Pierce had to be wheelchaired out was because he went number two while on the floor. That is even funnier. And I think 12-year-old Elijah, if I would have known then what I know now, would only laugh harder and would only hate him more. So those Celtics teams, the Cardinals and Yankees in baseball, and the New England Patriots are my least favorite teams in pro sports, and it's not even close.
I like it. And to your point about the Saints and not really having a rival in the NFC South, like as a Packers fan, everybody talks about the Packers and the Bears being the oldest rivalry in the NFL. I kind of feel sorry for the Bears. I mean, I don't really hate them because Aaron Rodgers just kills them over and over and over again. Like, you have to, like, beat them at some point to be a rival.
I feel like with you with the Bears and you with the Falcons, it's a little bit of a passive aggressive thing, though, right?
It's hilarious.
Yeah. I do chuckle. Like, when they blew that lead to the Cowboys, I will say I was like crying laughing because it was that funny. Like the onside kick thing, I just lost it. I mean I was almost blacked out from laughing so hard. I almost don't remember how that game ended because I was just, it was just a comedy like blackout like that.
Yeah,
they've been very entertaining this
year.
Yes,
they have. When we come back, I'll give my top five of the most hated pro sports franchises out there. For me, we'll get your reaction as well. Who do you hate the most in pro sports? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025, The Game. Nashville SC takes on Orlando City SC this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 2:15. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning, talking about the most hated sports franchises right now for each of us. Joe has delivered his top five. Elijah has spewed out his hatred for people both in baseball and in football. Lots of hatred being tossed out there.
Some basketball
by Elijah.
Too.
A little bit of basketball.
Oh yeah, I spread it around. I don't segregate sports hatred. Yeah. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Very egalitarian.
Now it's time for my list. We'll get your list to 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm going to start very similar to you, Joe. The Boston Celtics, and specifically the 2008 through 2013-ish Boston Celtics, I hate it with a passion. I am a big Miami Heat fan. I hated those guys. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen until he switched and came to the dark side down there in Miami. I mean, there was some big hatred there. Paul Pierce, to me, I have never disliked an NBA player more than I dislike Paul Pierce. Many reasons, very similar to Elijah over there. But even like after his playing career, once he's been on ESPN and he started talking about how he had a better career than Dwayne Wade, I wanted to bounce a basketball off his forehead. Like it just made me so mad. I can't stand the Celtics. Yeah, still to this day, can't stand them.
It's interesting the generational Celtics hatred on the show.
It's a unifying force.
Don't forget Kendrick Perkins either. I forgot to mention Kendrick Perkins, but I think he might be up there with Paul Pierce.
Yes.
Definitely.
Going back to the days of my childhood, number two on the list for me, the Baltimore Ravens, but more specifically, the Baltimore Ravens from the early 2000s. Growing up around here, watching the Titans play against Ray Lewis, Ed Reed back there, just some of the players that they had, that was a huge rivalry back in the day. Could not stand the Baltimore Ravens. Could not stand them. I don't really care about them all that much today. Like, I actually like watching Lamar Jackson play, and I think it's fun. But back in those days, like, they were a very easy team to dislike growing up around here.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Titans fans would be on board with that. Ray Lewis.
Yeah. Number three, the Montreal Canadiens. I cannot stand them. It has nothing to do, really, with any of the players that they have. It's more Montreal itself. Like, this arrogance that they have. It's kind of like the Yankees.
Yeah, very much like
the
Yankees.
NHL. But there is an arrogance and like an aura around the Montreal Canadiens that they think that they are God's gift to hockey, and they haven't done anything since 1993.
93, baby.
So like they still act like every time they show up in town, and even some people in their media act like that they are just the greatest thing on earth. And I'm like, you guys have not done anything in almost 30 years. At what point do you have to stop riding on winning Stanley Cups when there were six teams in the league? Like, is that really that great of an accomplishment? Sure, whatever. You can claim all the Stanley Cups you want to. A lot of them won when there was really nobody else to play in the league. So the Montreal Canadiens, that franchise and just the arrogance that comes with it has always rubbed me the wrong way. I hate them. I cannot stand. And I'm a guy typically in the NHL, like, I don't really care. Like, I just watch them play. I hate the Montreal Canadiens. Number four, the San Antonio Spurs. I may be the only person on the earth that hates the San Antonio Spurs. I cannot stand Greg Popovich. I think he's arrogant. I think he is smug. I don't like anything about Greg Popovich. And more specifically, my Heat played him twice in the finals in a row. One was very intense, a seven-game series that was very dramatic, and then we got smoked the next year. So I despise the San Antonio Spurs. It was honestly a toss-up for me between the Celtics and the Spurs of which NBA team I hate the most. It really is. I may be literally the only person on the earth that hates the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I love Popovich.
I have a roommate who I've been best friends with since we were like in middle school, and he's had a lifelong disdain for Tim Duncan. So
really?
I can kind of see it because they're good and they're also really boring.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Baltimore Ravens. Like, yeah, the great defenses in the early 2000s were good, but I can't cheer for like Trent Dilfer or Elvis Gerback. It's just not sexy football, you know? I mean,
no, that's a good point. They weren't the most like the Spurs, great team basketball. I enjoyed watching them play, but I think the boringness is part of it too. Mm-hmm. But it seems like in most years, like certainly, I mean, most of the country, when they were playing the Heat, they were all on the
spot. Oh, I'm aware of that.
You know, I mean, yeah. But again, it's also great. It's great when your team is hated, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's why the Bad Boys are my favorite team of all time, because I know that everyone else hated them.
That's why the 2013 Miami Heat are my favorite team of all time, because everyone hated them. And then they just ripped the championship away from the Spurs. It was great. I go back and watch that shot. Every time somebody brings up that Ray Allen shot, I watch it on loop for like 15 minutes and just revisit me sliding across my living room floor yelling at the top of my lungs when he made that shot. It was great. At number five on my list, this goes back to my childhood days as a big Nashville Predators fan growing up with hockey here in the South, the Detroit Red Wings. I could not stand the early 2000s to mid-2000s Detroit Red Wings. Number one, because they were so good. But number two, that was the standard at the time in the NHL. And being like little 13-year-old Robbie sitting in the crowd at Bridgestone Arena, which I think then was called the Gaylord Entertainment Center, and sitting up in the crowd yelling obscenities at the Red Wings and the referees, which people in Section 303 can vouch for at this point. It's amazing my career path took the path that it did. But I hated the Red Wings growing up. Hated
them. Swearing as a 13-year-old, huh?
Yeah, it was great.
I tell you what. So I'm trying to think. So back then, you're obviously they got Hasek. They've got They've got Zetterberg. They've
Lidstrom,
got Datsuk.
Brennan Shanahan. Steve Yzerman.
How do you hate Nick Lidstrom?
You know, I didn't hate Lidstrom specifically, but just how good they were. Like Yzerman.
Yeah.
Shanahan I despised. Could not stand that guy.
I can see that.
Thomas Holmstrom used to stand in front of the net and run all over the goalies. Like, I could not stand him.
I mean, the Red Wings, really, they were, you know, obviously the salary cap changed everything. But they were the Yankees of the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, for, I mean, you think about, I mean, obviously, Yzerman plays for 40 years, and that's one thing, but they were loaded from the late 80s, really, for 20 straight years.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just, they just, I mean, the Russian Five, all that. I mean, just, man, I love those teams.
Yeah, love like those teams I would say, so they were recession-proof. For a while.
They were?
For a long time.
Well, you just go out, man, well, let's try a little Luke Robitaille. How about a little Chelios? A little Brett Hall?
Oh, Chelios. Sure. I didn't even bring him up.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, let me tell you something. I grew up hating Chris Chelios. And that was I was very conflicted when they got him. I'm like, I don't want this guy. I hated Brett Hall, too.
Yeah.
I was like, I understand getting some of these really great players in their twilight and everything. You can pay for whoever. But
leave
like,
Chelios
why
alone.
Do you have to bring these guys in? Yeah. I hate Chelios.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the mid-90s fun and gun Florida Gators, number one on his list. At number two, the Dave Cowan 70s Celtics. At number three, the Bird Celtics. Number four, Stabler 70s Raiders.
Mm.
And at number five, the late 90s Yankees that went on their run there.
Okay, those lots are all of, good. So all era based. Okay. I mean, that's mostly – I think some people have just, again, like the consistent – Canadians will always be that for you because of the thing around them. Yankees be that for me. Bears too. But a lot of it is – it's that certain time in your life,
right,
when you hated someone.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tom from Clarksville texting in, I only have a top two. Number one is the Yankees. As a lifelong Braves fan, I despise them with the hate of a thousand suns. And the Dallas Cowboys, just because you get tired of hearing about them day in and day out. Do we think Dallas is still America's team? Like, I think a lot of people just hate the Cowboys, and they suck. And have sucked for a long time.
But I think that's exactly how it's always been. I mean, I hated them when they had Tony Dorsett and Danny White,
yeah.
You know, and those and I mean, so they were either they were America's team because that's all we talked about, and it's still the case, right? So I think they're Yankees like in that way.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland text in, I'm a Heat fan. I hate Paul Pierce, hate the Celtics and the 76ers. Also hate the Texans and Andre Johnson when he was there, especially after the fight with Courtland Finnegan, and also throw in the Patriots and Yankees as well. Like, who do Titans fans, like, who do they hate the most? I mean, I think back to the Ravens, and I think if you've been a Titans fan for a long time, the Ravens really stick in your craw. That's why the win last year in the playoffs, I think, was so satisfying for a lot of people. But, like, I remember that fight between Andre Johnson and Courtland Finnegan.
That's an all-timer.
That was something else. Courtland Finnegan bit off a little bit more than he could chew in that fight.
What about the Colts, though? Shouldn't the Titans fans
like
hate
Peyton
the
Manning?
Colts?
I mean, it's the Peyton Manning thing. Yeah, if Peyton Manning went to college at Ole Miss,
they
Colts
would,
be public enemy number one around here. But because
we're way past that now.
But because of the Peyton Manning connection back when he was killing them, it's like, you know, getting beat up by someone you love or you're related to.
Well, Andrew Luck has no ties, you know, I mean, and he was doing it too.
Yeah, I think they hated him a little bit more, but like the Titans were so bad largely when Andrew Luck was here that who really cared at that point?
Well, the Texans make sense just because that's the team that took over your old spot.
Right.
Like that should be, but I guess it's probably more coming from the other side.
Yeah,
right?
I think the Titans are the most hated team in Houston by far.
Yeah. So. And then you got the fans who are like Titans fans who grew up Oilers fans, and they're just like, the people moved away, and I still love them, and I still love them now. That's an interesting one.
Right. When we come back, we will dive back into the Vols. David Ubben from The Athletic will join us. We'll break down this matchup for Tennessee at Arkansas coming up tomorrow. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No!